Support for WPR comes from Isthmus Partners, an independent asset management firm offering comprehensive financial planning and tailored investment solutions for clients nationwide. More at isthmuspartnersllc.com.
Support for WPR comes from the Wisconsin DNR. Preventing food waste and composting scraps and uneaten veggies, grains, and fruit can help the environment. More at dnr.wi.gov by searching food waste.
Australian online, ching ai phon chung me. Tuk chang play play, khun nam thana rom. Sat kong krasa, chak trai kren krom. Krabai chul wan, trahang ang am.
We're listening to Cambodian poet Usam Orr. If it sounds like a mixture of howling and chanting, it's not surprising, considering Sam Orr's turbulent life. Before Pol Pot came to power in 1975, Sam wasn't just a poet, he was a politician, elected to the Cambodian National Assembly and chosen as a delegate to the UN. Everything changed when the Khmer Rouge took over. They destroyed the country, killing an estimated 2 million people. And Sam Orr ended up in a series of concentration camps. Today, he lives in Texas, and his poems about Cambodia are now being published in English. Sam and his translator, Ken McCullough, recently stopped by our studio. Sam told Steve Paulson why he's compelled to write poetry.
I wish just to write everything down on the pages for the world to understand, to learn from it. That's my dream, to become the ambassador of the silent world.
Now, one thing that we heard about the Khmer Rouge was, it was genocide, and millions of people were killed, especially the writers and intellectuals. How did you survive?
I kept my mouth shut and played dumb and just did what they assigned me to do.
When you say you played dumb, you didn't tell anyone you were a writer?
No, not a word about that.
I've heard that they often killed anyone who was literate, anyone who could read. Was that true?
Oh, yeah, that's first they killed the soldiers, second they killed the intellectuals and everything, doctors, singers, and everything.
Well, they estimate that less than 1% of the intellectuals survived. So it makes it pretty hard to resurrect a culture given that circumstance.
You're talking about not just a literary culture that was wiped out, yeah. Really a nation's entire culture was destroyed in a few years.
The musical instruments were smashed. You know, anything that had to do with the culture, which the regime considered as corrupt. So the idea was to start with a clean slate.
So Sam, for you, you must have had poems that you had written, manuscripts lying around in your house. What did you do with them?
I burned all of it because I was afraid that they're going to find out that I was intellectual. So I burned all the 80 poem manuscripts.
You destroyed, yeah, destroyed everything you had written?
Everything, biography, pictures, photos, everything, yeah.
For a writer, yes. That must be devastating to destroy your life's work.
Yes, of course, like I cremated myself.
And when Sam came back in 1992, we started working on his poetry. He had 10 sheets of that flimsy airmail paper with a few notes on it. The rest of it was in his head.
Well, you spent, you weren't killed, but you did spend 4 years in a series of concentration camps, right?
Yeah, 4 years. It was terrible. It was shaky all the time. Even though they look at me from afar, I still, shaky. Must be my turn, something like that.
Now, I've heard some horrifying stories about that period, about you in particular, that your wife gave birth to twins during your time in the camp, and those two babies were strangled.
Oh, yeah, that night just very horrible. Could not breathe. Feel like, already dead.
Why were they killed?
This is just the rules of the law of the Khmer Rouge. They don't need any newborns. So they kill every newborn at the times.
Why? Because these would be extra mouths to feed?
Yeah, extra mouth, and they have to take the mother off the work and many, many things. At that time, I did not see any babies born.
Sam, you've written a number of poems about those experiences in the concentration camps. Could you recite one for us?
All right, yeah, the loss of my twins. Cả đất dùng chữ Xa loan cô cực Đại nhò rô ắc Sài chư tây xa Rột chmó Pá chmó Mà thơ mê ta Sra vã rông kre nâu tì chinh ai.
Deep one night in December 75, when the moon had fully waxed, it was cold to the bone. That's when my wife's labor pains began. I searched for a bed, but that was wishful thinking. I felt so helpless. Two midwives materialized. One squatted above her abdomen and pushed. The other reached up into my wife's womb and ripped the babies out. What a lowing my wife put up when she gave birth to the first twin. Very pretty, just as I'd wished, but those fiends choked them and wrapped them in black plastic. Two pretty girls, Budo, I couldn't do a thing to save them, murmured my mother. Here, Ta, the midwives handed me the bundles. Cringing as if I'd entered hell, I took the babies in my arms and carried them to the banks of the Mekong River. Staring at the moon, I howled, "Oh, babies, you never had the chance to ripen into life. Only your souls look down at me now. Dad hasn't seen you alive at all, girls. Forgive me, daughters. I have to leave you here. Even though I'll bury your bodies here, may your souls guide me and watch over your mother. Lead us across this wilderness and light our way to the Triple Gem."
Wow, it's hard to say anything after that. You know, one thing that's so striking as I was listening to you, I mean, it was the way you performed that poem seems so appropriate because it sounds like you're crying as well as telling a poem.
Yes, that's very painful, yeah.
What do you see as the role of poetry? I mean, how do you write about something like that? And what are you trying to do with your poems?
It's just to convey the agony, the sorrow, the feeling, the loss, and to tell the people, tell the world that only love can keep peace on earth.
Now, you've had a life full of traumas, frankly, not just during those years with the Khmer Rouge, but afterwards, after the Vietnamese came in and took over the country and installed their own government, you had problems with them. Eventually, you came to the United States. How did you end up here?
I promised that I stay in Cambodia until freedom and democracy would be restored. And by that year, the United Nations and the United States, the world got together to bring democracy back to Cambodia. So I just said that now it's time for me to come out to write. If I stay in Cambodia, I could not write. I don't have any time to write.
Ken, was it hard to get Sam out of Cambodia, to bring him to this country?
It was, and the main problem was convincing the sponsoring organizations. They were looking for dissident writers with big reputations. And of course, if you were a dissident writer in Cambodia with a big reputation, you wouldn't have survived. And it took about 8 years until the Lillian Hellman Dashiell Hammett Fund for Free Expression saw the light, you know, that Sam had an MFA from the University of Iowa, and if given the chance, he indeed could possibly produce some valuable work, which he has definitely done.
Cambodian poet Usam Aur and his translator Ken McCullough, talking with Steve Paulson. Sam is now a permanent resident of the U.S. He's written a memoir called Crossing Three Wildernesses. And he continues to write poetry. Here is another of his poems, Searching for Dad.
When I left, Dad sat on his bed, wanting to go through his shakes in private. With no food or water, Dad lived on Buddha, while his body became covered with sores. He refused to leave. He wanted to meditate. Pol Pot separated me from my teacher. When I return, I find him gone. Dad, what miseries did you suffer?
Oh,
trees in whose roots the fish spawn, in the dry season of 75, my dad was still here. He was alive under the sanctuary of worship. Now, in what grave does his skeleton lie? He was a builder, followed the precepts, gave alms. He built temples, chateaux, palaces, stupas. Yet Pol Pot killed him, annihilated his genius without regret. The horizon is like the hem of a mosquito net. Pelican feet, like duck feet. We've been living in misery because of our king, eclipsed because ladies adore diamonds. Our forests turn to deserts out of ignorance. Oh God, why Cambodia?
Cambodian poet Sam Aur.